Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. My name is Eric Vail and I'm a member of the Public Worship Committee here. And whether this is your first time of worshiping with us or this has been your church home for a long, long time, we wanted to say welcome. And we're glad that you found your way to our worshiping committee this morning, community this morning. A few ways that you can learn more about Gates Presbyterian Church is to check out the ways we are church together through worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. Your bulletin has a calendar and a list of announcements, and we invite you to gather after worship in the fellowship hall, which is down the hall to the end, for time of coffee and punch and conversation. During our time of offering back to God this morning, please pass the green hospitality register amongst the pews and take a look at the name in the hospitality register as it's passed back. If by chance you don't know the person sitting next to you around you, introduce yourself so that we get to know each other in the way that we always do here at Gates Presbyterian. And after worship this morning, Elder Kerry Dykes will be at the communion table to receive any comments or questions you might have. So please take that opportunity to join with Kerry. This morning, as always, we have a few announcements. And we'll start with the exciting news. Katie?
Good morning. Two things, actually. First, last night at our Jamaica Coffee House, we had a ton of leftover desserts. They're going to be for sale for $1 in the fellowship hall after worship, so buy more desserts. Yeah. And also, we would like to thank everybody who donated desserts, performed last night, or came to support us. We raised over $1,000 for our mission.
Sally?
Good morning. I'm Sally Christensen. For those of you who don't know me, I'm here representing the mission ministry team this morning. Last night, I was trying to figure out how to make purchasing food, cooking our famous St. Joseph's goulash, and serving it up to the men and women at Reach House sound new and exciting. So this is one of the versions that I came up with, so you're going to have to just bear with me here. Have I got a deal for you? Shop for fine gourmet ingredients. Spend an afternoon in the GPC kitchen cooking with experienced chefs. Saute methods, knife skills, portion distribution, fresh produce preparation, it's all there for you. Then, travel to Reach House in beautiful downtown Rochester. Serve up your creations to appreciative guests. Sign up today. This is a limited time offer. Well, I kind of frankly thought that sounded like a really bad used car salesperson. So, thought some more, and I realized I really do have an exciting opportunity for you. It's a huge opportunity to be parts of this grassroots movement here in Rochester, the all-volunteer community that has set up the Reach House to help the less fortunate in our community. We at GPC have a long history of helping the less fortunate, and it is a privilege, a huge, exciting privilege, to be able to reach out to the folks who are using this new home to get them through a cold winter. Let's get out there and show our GPC-style generosity and compassion. So what you can do to help? Well, the kiosk, as you know, plays a major part in our volunteer activities. This will be out there this morning. We need food, we need cooks, and we need servers. The food we need delivered here by noon on Saturday, the cooks need to be here at 1 to prepare our meal, and the servers need to be here at 4:15 to load up, get everything in the cars, drive downtown. They encourage us to stay and eat with the guests at Reach House, and so you can have wonderful St. Joseph's goulash if you've never had it. It is the best, I'm not kidding. Should be done around 7 o'clock. And it really is a limited time offer. Come on down and help. Thank you so much.
I think we'll all run out and do that right after church today, right? Mary?
Sally, come back and talk about senior high Sunday school. It's going to be just as exciting. So all you senior highs, the reason why I'm up here is because as I was planning today's lesson, it is going to be definitely 60 minutes. And so we are going to start promptly at 11:15. So I know we're all busy after church, but if the senior highs who are coming to Sunday school could try and get down to the senior high lounge, I'd like to jump right in at 11 o'clock so we can try and get finished. It's going to be a great session, an important topic, and I hope to see you there. Thanks.
Okay, I think that was it. This morning and today, we are pleased to welcome and we are blessed to have Reverend Dr. Val Fowler, honorably retired, as our guest preacher this morning. Val has a history of being the preacher at First Presbyterian Church of Chilai for 12 years, and then on to the First Presbyterian Church of Huntay Falls for 13 and a half years, before his honorable retirement in September 1st of last year. So this morning, again, we welcome the Reverend Val Fowler, Reverend Val, and we were really pleased to have you with us and worshiping with us. And one other responsibility I know that Reverend Val has is he's also the stated clerk of the presbytery. So a lot of you have probably either seen him or do know him already. So when the opportunity presents itself, please introduce and welcome Reverend Val. Now let us prepare our hearts and our minds as we worship our God together.
Stand as you're able for the call to worship. God of life and new birth, prolific creator of everything. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was love, for God is love. We came because we want to be near you, and there were others here who sounded like they had also seen a star.
We stumbled and fell,
The wonder is you met us where we were. Would you please join me in the prayer of confession as printed in your bulletin? God, who is always giving and forgiving, have mercy on us who are always getting and forgetting. Now please take time to silently reflect on these words and what they mean for you. Who is in a position to condemn us? Only Christ.
Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Nothing in all creation is able to separate us from the love of God and Christ Jesus.
Thanks be to God.
Now, I will do something that's probably a little different. I'm going to invite the children and the youth who are present to come and join me. And you'll see the reason for that in just a second. So, and this is a great one, especially for the children. I would invite at least one of the parents to come forward, too. Trust me. Can we just sit around here? So everyone, I'll stand up. Does anyone know what this piece of clothing is called? You know what it's called? It's called a stole. Now, when I was about your age, I heard the name stole, and I thought that was how the minister got it. It's another story, but that's not the case. But a friend of mine made this stole. What do you think it's about? Okay, well, look at it carefully. Is it the three wise men? That's a great idea. Mary and Joseph. One wise guy and one wise woman, right? Where are they headed? Jerusalem and a little town. Let's see. Jerusalem is about as far from here. But Jerusalem is as close to Bethlehem as we are to Marketplace Mall. That's about it. You know Marketplace Mall, right? Yeah. It's just a very short distance. So they're heading to Jerusalem and to Bethlehem. Now, how many people are on this stole? How many? Two. And who else is on this stole? Pardon? Jesus. Is Jesus on this stole? Where is he? Technically. Good for you. A lot of truth is technically. Technically, God created the world. So why would you say Jesus is there? Where is Jesus? Any ideas where Jesus is? Where's Jesus? He is here in this picture. Well, that's the star. That's great. But Jesus is really in this picture. It's technically. Where is he? Is he right here inside his mom's tummy? So that means he was there, right? Because he was alive. He was just about to be born. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus went to Jerusalem many, many times. He went at least when he was 12 years old, because that's the story of where he went with his parents, and then they left and he stayed, and they were all excited about that. Remember that? And at least two or three other times he went to Jerusalem, because he went to the festivals. And a good Jew at that time would make sure that they went to at least one of the festivals, if not all of them. Now, the first time Jesus came to Jerusalem, where was he? He was in his mommy's tummy. Isn't that cool? He wasn't even born yet, and he went to Jerusalem. Now, how many of you have been baptized? All of you. Do you remember your baptism? No. How many of you remember your baptism? How old were you? About 7? I was 5th grade. And you can remember yours? And that's quite okay. The parents who are here, your children, did they come to church before they were baptized? Did they come to church in your tummy? So, their mother, you guys, the first time you came to church, you were in her tummy. And the first time he did, was he in? And I'll bet for most of you, the first time you came to church was in your tummy, your mom's tummy. So you share something really special with Jesus, don't you? Because the first time he came to Jerusalem, he was in his mom's tummy. A friend of mine sings a song, and it says, "You were loved before you were born." before you ever were, you were claimed by grace. Before you ever were, before you could think a thought, before you could sing a song, before you could go to church on your own, you were loved before you ever were. So I would like you for the rest of this day, occasionally, to think about how cool it is. Not only that the first time Jesus came to Jerusalem, he was in his mom's tummy, but the first time you came to church, you were in your mom's tummy, and accompanied probably by others in your family. And I think that is really, really cool. Would you agree? Just think about that. Think about that today. Thank you very much. Now, what do we do? Oh, we listen to the anthem. You want to do that here, or do you want to go back to your places? That's fine, either way.
Thank you.
The first scripture reading comes from the book of Acts. The next day, the leaders, elders, and legal experts gathered in Jerusalem, along with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others from the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and asked, "By what power or in what name did you do this?" Then Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, answered, "Leaders of the people and elders, are we being examined today because something good was done for a sick person, a good deed that healed him? If so, then you and all the people of Israel need to know that this man stands healthy before you because of the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified but whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone you builders rejected. He has become the cornerstone. Salvation can be found in no one else. Throughout the whole world, in no other name has been given among humans through which we must be saved."
And the second reading is from the Gospel of John, one section from chapter 12 and one section from chapter 14. Reading from chapter 12, beginning with verse 27. "Now is my soul troubled," Jesus said, "and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing by heard it and said that it had thundered. Others, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world, and now shall the ruler be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." And then from chapter 14, starting with verse 1. "Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that you will know that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." Thomas said, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." And finally, reading from the second chapter of the book of Ephesians, starting with verse 13. "Now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near in the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing in his flesh the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new person in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby bringing hostility to an end. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to you who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers or sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in him whom you also are built into it for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let me first say how grateful and privileged I am to be here with you this morning. Bob Kaiser was my mentor when I moved to Chilai in August of 1990 and became the first window into the treasure that is Gates Presbyterian Church. And I've been in this place many, many times, but have never been here to worship with you on a Sunday. And so it's a real privilege to be here, and I am grateful for the opportunity that the session and Melissa extended to me. And Melissa has become one of my treasured colleagues, and I personally rejoice that she some years ago became your pastor. I would also say, putting my stated clerk hat, that one thing that I have known about this presbytery, this church since the beginning, is how generous you are, not only to many places in our wider world and to the local community, but you are generous to this presbytery. You have gifted this presbytery with place. I have been in this room at least four times, maybe five, for presbytery meetings. I think Gates Presbyterian and Third Church hold the record for the most times presbytery has been hosted since I have been here. And always with gratitude, always with hospitality, always with appreciation. I'm here every first Tuesday of the month for Committee on Ministry, which meets just down the hallway in the back room across from the choir office and the choir rehearsal place. And many other times I have been here. You have gifted this presbytery with leadership, with a member of the presbytery staff, with persons on committees, with your pastor as one of the four leaders of Committee on Ministry. So I simply want to honor the generosity that this congregation has offered to the Presbytery of Genesee Valley. And trust me, it is appreciated. Now, today's sermon will begin with a song. I hope you haven't been afraid of this being up here. It's a song written by Ann Hills, who lives in, I believe, either upstate New York or New Hampshire. I can't remember which. It is a love song. It's a beautiful song, as you will see, on a lot of levels. But the one thing that intrigued me about this song, it's the only love song I've ever heard that is based mostly on directions. It's also based on the seasons. It moves from summer to winter to fall and to spring. And I love the comment that Jesus was technically in the picture on the stole, because God is technically in this song. If you're coming in the summer, you'd do better to split off on 39. There's a starlight drive-in movie on the right, just beyond the county line. Right after that, you'll tee two silos. One is silver, one is blue. About a quarter mile further, take a left onto Highway 42. Then follow that road, cornfields far as you can see. Follow that road, back through time, back through distance, back to me. If you're coming in the autumn, you want to follow the river to Bear Lake. It's the way to see the colors. There's an old covered bridge you'll want to take. Late at night, be careful, just be sure to look for deer out on the road. If it's early in the morning, there's fog, be careful, take it slow. Then follow that road, sugar maples far as you can see. Follow that road, back through time, back through distance, back to me. If you get the notion in December to stop by for just a day, there's a tiny little road no one knows of. It's safe to go that way. It's up between two fields, so the sun melts off the ice by afternoon. There are two houses by the fields. Someone's always there, but if not, they'll be back soon. Follow that road, snow drifts far as you can see. Follow that road, back through time, back through distance, back to me. You'll remember in the springtime how the puddles looked like pieces of the sky. Falling down by the roadside to delight any stranger passing by. The softness of the grass on Raven Hill, where we counted stars all night. You must know how much I love you, and that any way you get here is all right. Follow that road, wildflowers far as you can see. Follow that road, back through time, back through distance, back to me. Just follow that road.
Now, I pride myself on giving good directions. That's probably because so many times in my life I've been given really terrible. A friend of mine taught me a poem. When telling me how to get there, leave nothing to gamble or guess. Make all your directions explicit. Assume I'm a moron.
or less. So give me a map I can cling to. Give me some signs I can scan, because maybe you can't miss it, but believe me, I can. Now, let's say that I do benefit concerts as kind of a hobby. And let's say I've been invited here for one, or I've been invited to a house concert by one of you. We won't say here, because I do know how to get here. But let's say I've been invited to one of your houses to do the concert at 7 o'clock at your address. And you have been as diligent as Melissa is, and you sent me the directions to your house, and I've glanced at them, and I've said, oh, I know how to get there. So I leave them on the counter when I leave, and then I get lost. 7 o'clock comes. 7:05 comes. 7:20 comes. 7:30 comes. What are you thinking? He's late, obviously. Did he forget? Did Val do what he often does? He thought it was next Friday, not this Friday, because he never looks at his cell phone. Is he hurt? Is someone in his family unexpectedly hurt? Aren't those the kind of questions that would go through your mind? And then, when I walk through the door 35 minutes late, what is your first reaction? You jerk. No, I don't think so. I think your first reaction is, oh, everything's okay. I'm glad you're here. That's the way we are, isn't it? We may have been scared, but then our fears are relieved, and we can get down to doing what we were doing with joy. It's happened to all of us many times. It's happened to me, it's happened to you. But then there's that underlying reality that it all happened because I thought I knew a better way. Now, after all the directions that she has given in that song, for each of the four seasons, Anne Hills comes to her conclusion. Did you hear it? You must know how much I love you, and that any way you get here is all right. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? So I'm guessing that even if my dorkiness caused me to be late, most people will ultimately be glad that I'm there. Now, can we assume that God is technically just as generous as we are? And I believe that whether she intended or not, Anne Hills offers a vision of who God is, and probably a vision of a lot like who we hope and believe God is. Now, in some respects, parts of this sermon will not be easy to hear. Those parts will be counterintuitive to what we have heard in religious circles all our lives and what we hear in our world today. So to start with one of those hard things to hear, I'll be very blunt right at the beginning. At the end of the day, when absolutely everything that you and I believe can be believed, when everything we can say has been said, when everything that we can do individually and collectively has been done, when every particle of love that we can spend has been spent, when every passion that can drive us has been followed to its limit, At the end of our days, at the end of all of our days, when we appear in the presence of God, what will matter most is that we are there. And it will matter less how we got there. At the end of our days, folks, it's not even about Gates Presbyterian Church. It's about Jesus. At the end of our days. What we heard Jesus say this morning is remarkable. Now is the judgment of the earth. Now shall the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Now, John never speaks of Jesus being lifted up above the earth as his ascension into heaven. That's Matthew, Mark, and Luke's territory. For John, it always means lifted up on the cross. I, when I am lifted up, will draw all people to myself. These words are about as global as words can get. What God is about in the person and work of Jesus Christ is always drawing all people. Not some, all. Not the good and righteous, all. Not right believers, all. Not Christians, all. All. Really? All? Well, that's what Jesus said. I will draw all people to myself, and offered no qualifiers. But what about people who follow a different path? Them too? All. As much as our world likes to draw boundaries and build silos, maybe God is more expansive than we are. Maybe God is more gracious, more merciful, more thoughtful, more compassionate, more helpful, more global, more in love with God's whole creation than we are. And if Jesus could draw all people to himself, who can say then some other path someone is following is Jesus drawing them? Now, does that mean that it doesn't matter what we believe? Or whom we follow? Not at all. Adolf Hitler believed what he wrote. I read Mein Kampf when I was in high school in the 10th grade. And ever since I was in the 10th grade, I have thought that perhaps World War II might have been avoided if leaders in our country had read his book and took him seriously. And realize that he was not just making noise. Because for about a decade, we got to see what he was writing. Yes, it matters what we believe. It matters who we follow. Many Sunnis in this world today believe that Shiite Muslims are heathens who are well-bent on destroying them. And many Shiites believe the same about Sunnis, and they act on the basis of what they believe and follow. And both of them have good data for those beliefs, data that has been around for centuries. But it matters what we believe and how we believe. It matters very much what we believe. Even Jesus said that. The light is with you a little longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. Those who walk in darkness do not know where they go. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become children of light. We, you and I, have the light of Christ. We are called to walk in that light, live in that light, and show that light, no matter what. We are responsible to walk faithfully in the light that we have seen and have been given. Jesus has called us, and Jesus calls us to be faithful. So here's another thing, perhaps hard to hear. The church does not exist to bind anyone's wounds. That is Jesus' job. The church does not exist to make anyone or any group of people holy. That is the Spirit's job. It is called sanctification, and you and I can't do that. The church does not exist to charge any person's spent batteries. That's the Spirit's job. The church does not exist to give meaning to anyone's life. That's the work of God in and through us all. The church does not exist to defend the good against evil. That is God's job. And ultimately, he showed us that the way he works is through resurrection. The church does not exist to bring new life to anyone or anything. That is our Creator's job. That is Jesus' job. That is the Spirit's job. It is our Savior's job, who came to give us all life and life abundantly. The church does not exist to do any of those things. The church exists for one reason and one reason only, and that reason comes straight from the mouth of Jesus, who said to his disciples, "You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." That's it. Sum total. You shall be witnesses. You shall bear witness. But, what happens when we do that? What happens when we live by the job description Jesus has given us? Well, amazingly, wounds are bound. Holiness becomes real in our very midst. Even in ourselves, batteries are charged beyond belief. Meaning is found. The good finds its true power, the power of God at work in and among people and communities, often against very long odds. New life arises, and we are amazed. We are amazed in our churches. We are amazed in our families. We are amazed in friends, in strangers, and even in ourselves when new life arises. Search your hearts. I believe you know that that is true, because you have seen it. You have experienced it. You have watched it. You have celebrated it. You have prayed for it and rejoiced in the fruit of your prayers. Art Garfunkel's first solo album after he and Paul Simon parted ways for a while is a wonderful little song. We are going, heaven knows where we are going. We'll know we're there. We will get there, heaven knows how we will get there. We know we will. It will be hard, we know, and the road will be muddy and rough, but we'll get there, heaven knows how we will get there. We know we will. That's the thing about the faith journey, isn't it? Not all of the things are mapped out. A professor of mine once said, we get baptized. Then we spend the rest of our entire lives trying to figure out what the heck that meant. This church enters a new season in its life. This church contemplates new directions in ministry. This church is once again, as Melissa and I met to prepare for this day back in November, Melissa described how this church is doing what I told her is what I believe is one of the strengths of this church: preparing to take some risks. And we have to trust that God knows where we are going, even if we don't, and that we are called to look not to ourselves but to God, who has given us plenty of directions. This book, the Holy Bible, is full of directions. Not rules, directions. This book, the Book of Confessions, is an almost 2,000-year history of how Christians have attempted to make sense of the presence of God in the world in which they are living. That's why we don't have just one confession. We look at how the Reformation leaders thought about their faith. We look at how the confession, the Pastors Emergency League meeting in Barmen, Germany, looked at the impact of Jesus Christ on their rapidly destroying world. We have a witness, which is also a direction. And I will digress here to say that the problem, I believe, after 40 years in ministry and 10 years prior to that studying, the problem is we take a book that is largely descriptive, and we make it prescriptive, thereby missing the wonder of metaphor that can change our lives. One of the places we do that is when Jesus says, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." Friends, that is not a prescription. It is a description. And when we're searching for the way to learn that Jesus is that way, as many of us have discovered, is power and strength, not because it's a rule, but because it's real. We are loved by God. These directions are part of the directions that God has given us with very little really to gamble or guess. God loves us even when we're morons or less. God gives us maps to cling to and signs to scan, and still we miss it. Still we are late. Still, we think we know the directions better than God. I say again, we are called to be faithful and true to the one who has called us, Jesus Christ. And we are responsible to that calling, no one else's. We are accountable to it, and we are simply called to bear witness to the good news of Jesus Christ, who has called us, and to do that faithfully and well. We are called to bear witness with all of the every soul in our body integrity that we can muster. Friends, if our Lord and Savior and Master did not come to condemn the world or to judge the world, then we are certainly not given that job description either. Our world is being ripped to shreds because so many people want to shore up their own faith or their own beliefs and lash out at anyone else who disagrees with them. By judging others, by cleansing the world of those others, or by condemning others, none of these things are consistent with the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is love. Whatever anyone believes, we are called to be faithful to that calling that is our calling. We are called to give heart and mind and strength to God and love to our neighbors. If we are faithful witness bearers, love will be born. Love has been born. And with it, the eight fruit of that love: joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Because that's how it works. That's how it works. We can. We can be true to our calling and bear faithful witness to it and still treat others with respect and love, even those just as strongly and faithfully who believe differently from us. We can look for the fruit that the Holy Spirit bears in their lives, and we can rejoice in that fruit. Sometime, and it's relatively small, but sometime grab a copy of the Bhagavad Gita, a portion of the Hindu scriptures, and read sections 16 and 17, and see if they do not resonate as to what a life of a spirit looks like. We can look for the fruit that the Holy Spirit bears in others' lives, and we can rejoice with them, as hopefully they will rejoice with us. God loves us enough to allow us to make the best possible choices that we make and revels with delight in the consequences of those good choices. God loves us enough to allow us to make lousy choices and loves us even more by walking with us as we bear the consequences of those choices. Scripture makes it plain, God does not abandon those who abandon him. Sometime, if you want to talk, we can share stories of that truth. And still and always, God welcomes us back as a prodigal father, saying, "You must know how much I love you, and that any way you get here, it's all right." And that's really super. Because, in fact, right here is now. I'll sing this song. This is a wonderful song. Come live in the light, shine with the joy and the love of the Lord. We are called. Thank you.
First of all, thank you, Reverend Fowler. We're certainly happy that your road led us here, and we led you here, and we hope you come back. Thank you. And now it's time in our service to share our joys and concerns. So if the ushers will bring the mics forward, I guess I have to give up mine.
David Keeling, I have a joy and a concern. First off, the concern, my grandmother, Dorothy Buff, she's going in for surgery January 20th for her back. And my joy is that this past week was my first week at Roberts, and it went really well, and I love it there so far. So, amen, I guess.
Joanne Vander, and I have two prayers. First, Dix Henderson is in the Jewish home now for rehab, and we need prayers both for Dick and Fran. And secondly, I don't know if many of you remember Bob Rice. He was a student pastor here. His wife died, and they had the funeral yesterday. During the service, his son, or son-in-law, had a suspected heart attack and was taken to the hospital. And right after the service, Bob Rice was talking to Bob and Marilyn Kaiser. He collapsed and fell down the stairs, and they don't know if he had a heart attack. So we need that whole Rice family in our prayers, please.
Dick Kern, I have a joyous message. Yesterday, I think around 11 a.m., a young lady finally decided to join our family. She comes in at 9 pounds, 2 ounces. Her name is Madison J. Reardon. And she's the granddaughter of Cheryl and Frank Battaglia.
I'd like to make an announcement about Guatemala, if I may. And in light of Val's sermon about new life arising and following a road, for many, many years, this congregation has walked side by side with the people of Rio Negro and that region of Rabinal. And 2 weeks after we had left on our last trip this past July, the president was forced to step down and was arrested for corruption charges, amongst other things, along with his vice president. And then just about 2 weeks ago, there were 18 former high-ranking military people arrested and charged with the murder and genocide of the people of Rio Negro. And so these are our friends that we've been walking with over these many years, and even though it's been a long time coming, it's been over 20 years since the peace accords were signed, it's the work of several people, including everyone in this room, but people like Graham Russell, who you've met, Jesus Tico Osorio, who's been here to speak with us about the atrocities that happened in Rio Negro, and it was based on the exhumations of the mass graves in Coban, where the men from Rio Negro were first tricked into going and were massacred there and buried in mass graves. So it's important work that we've been doing, and some new light is and new life is arising, and it's a road that I'm sure that there are all the people in that area are grateful that we've been walking with them in solidarity with.
Velta Rushan, I'd like to ask for two prayers. This morning, our son Omar, who lives in Houston, Texas, is running a marathon as we sit here. So I ask for grace and endurance for him. The second thing, on Wednesday, he starts his examination for ordination. And so we give God thanks for his journey and for continued journey. Thank you.
Dick Stewart, I want to thank you for your prayers for my sister Bonnie, who had breast surgery about a week ago. Our daughter Sarah had her thyroid removed on Wednesday, and it was about a little over three times larger than it should have been. So we're very grateful that that was successful.
Well, I have some joys and concerns from our children. Joy, my birthday is in a week. Corollary to that, there's a concern. Don't know what I want for my birthday. Another joy, happy that we are having cookies. And today we are celebrating Grandma's birthday. Prayers for everyone who have big events coming up, and hope that they go well. All right, let's bow our head in prayer. Gracious and loving God, source of all wholeness, forgiveness, and mercy, may your Spirit heal those who are torn, mend those who are broken, and protect those who are fragile. Enable us, O God, through the gift of your steadfast love, to remember who we are, whose we are, and that you guide us on all life's journeys. In your love, may we be true and faithful disciples of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Amen. And now let us bring our offerings forward. God of all good gifts, we thank you and praise you. Your Spirit has touched our lives, bringing wisdom, ability, strength, courage, and passion, Enable us to use our gifts in service to you and to others. In all that we do and in all that we are, may your name be glorified, that your kingdom will be with us and reside here on this earth. Amen. And as we go into the last hymn, if we could sing the first and the fourth verses, that would be great. Thank you.
Some of us right now and some of us in a little while after we enjoy those wonderful goodies will leave this place. Wherever God leads you from this moment, when you arrive, may you be surprised to discover that God is already there, waiting for you, expecting you, embracing you. As you go where God is leading you, may you discover that miraculously, even though he will already be there, God is walking alongside you with every step you take. May you know that. May you feel that. And then wherever God has sent you, when you leave that place, may it be said of you that God was so much a part of who you are that God remains in every step you leave behind. May that be so. And by God's grace, it shall be. The peace of Christ be with you. Let's see, which way do I go?